So currently we're still messing around with the camera angle, trying to get everything spot on. And we're recording as well, are we? Come and take a seat, Tom. Okay, here we go. Well, let's get comfy. We are live. We're live. We're going. Welcome to the second installment. In fact, actually, that's probably a not a good thing to do, because then it won't be. Let's start again. Welcome to Our Humble Opinions. My name's Mike.
I'm Tom.
And we're gonna go through a couple of topics today.
Yeah.
Remind me, Tom, what are we talking about today?
I think we were going to have a little rant about Christmas, because we both have different, like, our Christmas days are very, very different considering what situation we're both in. Like, yep. I've
a situation.
Well, look at the, yes, it's a happily, no, what do you call it? Happily, happily married situation.
It is a situation. It's not an arrangement.
Yeah, it's not an arrangement. It's not an arrangement.
Well, it might have been.
Yeah, it might have been. It might have been dragged down the aisle.
Oh,
I wasn't there.
No.
But, we're going to talk about. I know Christmas has just gone, but we are just going to delve into it, because now all the Christmas fanatics are now put to bed. You know, they can't really come at us now for what we're about to say today. Well, for what I'm about to say today, I'm not sure what Mike's stance on it is, but that's just my humble opinion at the end of the day. But we're going to talk about Christmas.
Yes, we are indeed. And no other way to kick Christmas off, but the main opinion I have about Christmas is the fact that you see far too many people buying far too many presents for children. Mm. And the fact that it's posted online.
Yeah.
And I think by doing that, it's just, I genuinely frown upon it. Like, and I know people will obviously see this now. And if you are one of those people who do it, it really annoys me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what is it you're proving? And I think the traditional spirit of Christmas is completely being missed by having this, I don't know, this is the assumption that you've just got to buy mounds of presents and display that to the world and show that to your kid, that's what Christmas is about, when in fact it really isn't. Like, it's the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you break down what Christmas actually is, like, Santa's from Turkey. He originated from Turkey.
Did.
A Christmas tree, I think, is American. I think it's an American thing that they do, an American tradition.
Yes.
And
I'll fact check this.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas revolves around Christianity. You know, in the UK, should we really pushing it as much as we do anymore? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, like, whatsoever. Like, and I hear what you're saying about the mounds of presents that are pretty much,
it's the pictures all over a sofa, yeah, like this, or bigger, yeah, most of the time.
Mm.
And it genuinely is just full.
Yeah.
And brim. And I'm just thinking, what on earth?
And don't get me wrong, you know, there's been a few Christmases when I was younger.
Same,
and
exactly
it's,
the same.
And it's been like that. It's been presents everywhere. But now, as a rational thinking adult now, I wish I could go back in time, yeah, and say to my mum and dad, what were you thinking?
Yep.
You know, but obviously hindsight's a beautiful thing, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. But we've got to go back to the Christmas tree bit, because in terms of where a Christmas tree originated from, and I wanted to go and check this, because it was bugging me a little bit, because I was like, yeah, it feels like it's America, but there was a bit inside me where it's not. And there's probably people watching. So at this point, add a comment into the video if you're watching on the tube.
Yeah.
And just let us know where you think the Christmas tree originated from. I'm about to say it. It's actually Germany.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was, Germany is credited with starting the Christmas tree tradition as we know it in the 16th century, when devout Christians brought decorated trees into their homes. Some built Christmas pyramids of wood and decorated them with evergreens and candles if wood was scarce.
Yeah, so,
interesting.
Yeah, so it's a German tradition, and we've adopted it. But, you know,
and I do like decorating the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I think that is a nice thing to do. I mean, we do it with the kids.
Mm.
Tinsel the thing up, get all the Christmas lights on it. We've actually, in the last few years, we've not so much put presents under the tree. That's become a little bit of a thing that we've not really done so much, especially this year. We put a train track around the bottom of the tree, which is pretty cool. Mm. The kids love that. Mm. But yeah, we didn't any put presents underneath it or anything. But snow spray, on a Christmas tree. In my humble opinion, snow spray on a Christmas tree is amazing. I don't know why. I just like the contrast of colour that it gives to a room.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty cool.
And that's the thing. All that is absolutely great. You know, if you want to decorate your home, that's absolutely fantastic. It's for you to enjoy. But I think the whole premise of...
Siri doesn't understand.
Siri just saying, I'm not sure I understand. I haven't actually set a timer. What's 6:31?
We're good.
I'll set a timer quick. But yeah, Chris, what was I saying? I've lost my train of thought there.
We were talking about
the premise of Christmas. You know, with gift giving and stuff, like essentially what Christmas is now is a way to stimulate the economy, to get your hard-earned money, make you save up for Christmas.
Here he goes again.
Yeah. Stimulate the economy. And then they want you then to just push it back into the economy. And yeah, all your money's gone. And then you've got to recuperate it back.
Yep.
Throughout the next 11 months of the next year.
Because let's be fair, it's an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
That is spent, and going back to another mains of presents that we see a lot. I'm thinking, where on earth do you get this money from? And then
you've got these parents then who, you know, they got their kids coming back home from school and being like, oh, little Tommy's asked for a PS5 for Christmas and a massive TV. I want that as well. Do you think Santa will get that for me as well? And I'll stop there and I'll quickly branch off a little bit. The whole point of Christmas is the magic of the kids. That's what a lot of pro Christmas people would say.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of it. It's the magic for the kids. You start off Christmas by saying Santa's real. It's all built on a lie. And that's that.
I might have a different opinion here.
Like, go on.
I get that. I do. But just cast your mind back to when you were a kid and how magical it was when you wake up Christmas morning. On those occasions where there were mounds of presents and how magical it actually was. Don't get me wrong, you can still have that magic. And we've proved that in the fact that it doesn't have to be mounds of presents. We literally keep it to a minimum in the house. But you do remember when you're a kid and you come down, we wrap the door with wrapping paper so the kids run through the door. It's a tradition we did when I was a kid. We've carried it on with our kids. Mm. But there is an essence of magic about it. And the magic of Santa Claus, and obviously, you know, whatever or wherever old Saint Nick came from, I'll do some fact checking on that in a sec, and we'll reveal it towards the end of this opinion. But leave a comment now if you can in the comment section about where you think Saint Nicholas originated from, ye old Santa Claus. But Santa itself for kids, and when I was a kid, you know, you believe in this magical thing that's just. I don't know. It's just exciting, and you just see that excitement, you know, through the kids now as an adult. But you feel it when you're a kid. So I get it. We are 100% lying to the children around this Santa Claus fella who technically breaks into your house, which is an illegal thing to do, by the way. We are not condoning this whatsoever. And he just leaves gifts for you, and he actually. Even though you leave the cookies and milk out for him, you know, technically he's helping himself for that stuff. But if it was me and I was Santa Claus, I'd be helping myself to more than just cookies and cookies and milk. I'd be in the cupboard looking for other stuff at Christmas.
But then that goes back to being a kid, and your brain is like a sponge, and you will believe absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just in my head, I just think, in my humble opinion, I think it's built on a lie. You're putting pressure on parents who aren't as well off as most. You know, if there's people that have a very mixed relationship with their family, it puts pressure on that as well. When you see everyone sat around the table at Christmas time, yeah. And you know you've got family members, you know, who you don't speak to or whatever. You know, it makes you think, like, you know, oh, I wish I had a family like that. And it just, when you're in that little bubble of your own happiness, you forget about other people's
misfortunes.
Misfortunes, yeah. I mean, And that goes back to, like, you know, enjoy it, but I don't think it should be advertised all over your social media, you know, about, oh, look at us, we're a massive happy family. And I know you're going to have a different opinion on me on this, but I may have a different opinion when I'm older and I've got children.
Hang on. What are you trying to say?
comment down below how much of an age gap you think there is between us.
Yes, great opportunity to do that.
But yeah, that's just my opinion. I think Christmas is a bit of a, yeah.
But there's some bits of it there where I genuinely do agree. The one thing I think as I've got older, be interesting to see what this age gap is, you think. Since I've got older, I've actually realized there's more to, I don't know, when you feel those emotions where you feel like, oh, do you know what? I probably should rekindle a relationship, or I am missing out on something like that. If it's within your control to just fix something like that, don't sit on it, just fix it. If there is a relationship that's broken down and you've not seen a family member for a long time, I would genuinely, personally encourage just to go and fix that issue. And I'm saying that through experience. It's not something I think to leave for a long period of time and let it fester, if that's the word to use to describe that.
Just linger.
Yeah, because I think that actually, it's worse. And there's a saying that time is a good healer. And sometimes with a little bit of time, yes, it is. But if you can just make that switch and just go and fix that relationship, it, you know, you wouldn't be feeling that if you were seeing things where you'd seen everybody sat around a table, etc. But the one thing that really grinds my gears at Christmas, and it's around that whole, you know, you see family members, etc., is the extent of presents that you have to buy for other people.
Yes, this is what I can get on board with.
And I think it's the obligation that can sometimes be, I don't know, you perceive that it's an obligation to buy presents for others. And I remember some years, we've bought presents for, I mean, let's do this like as an onion, as a layer. So the center of the onion is like, you know, us, the family, the kids, the wife. Then the outer layer of the onion is like your parents, your sisters, brothers. Then there's the other outer layer of the onion, which is like cousins, aunties, uncles. And then there's the outer layer, which is then friends and friends of friends and that kind of net. And we've, one year, don't get me wrong, we don't spend lots, little gifts that are hopefully quite thoughtful. But we're buying gifts for, flipping egg, friends of friends of friends of friends of friends. And I'm just sat there looking and discussing with my wife, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What? Why? It's just, we like, Merry Christmas. Have a lovely time. But and let's face it, at the moment, the descriptive that you used to describe the cost of living always...
Cozy lives.
Cozy lives.
Yeah. Put it out on the radio. It's not my saying. I haven't coined it.
But it's a thing at the minute. You know, there is a bit of a issue with the amount that things cost due to inflation and other impacting factors at the moment in the economy. So actually, you know, you want to keep it to a minimum spend, really, opposed to, you know, forking out for every man and his dog to have a Christmas gift. But the most things you can do is probably give up your time to help others at Christmas. I know there's a lot of volunteering that you can do. But do me a favor. If you're going to volunteer and help people, don't brag about it.
Yeah.
Because that is really annoying.
Yeah.
Just do it out of humbleness and you don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah. It's like, I remember on an episode of Friends where Phoebe said to Joey, if anyone used to watch Friends, she said, there's no such thing as a selfless good deed. And was it the other way around? Joey was saying to Phoebe, there's no such thing as a selfless good deed. And she couldn't find a selfless good deed. And there's something called, I remember my friend saying it, there's altruism. Could you get the definition of altruism?
Altruism. Altruism. Oh my goodness. So it is a disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. So some may choose to work with vulnerable elderly people out of altruism.
Mm. So there's some truth in the fact that altruism isn't actually real, because you can't do something selfless and do something good for others. But then again, if you don't brag about it, then you know you are entitled to feel good about it, because it'll make you do do it more. Yes, but...
and it's slightly encouraging for others as well, because in a way, depends how you come across me when you say it, but like, is that you know, you're trying to create awareness for others to maybe feel, do you know what? Yeah, I should do more of that. But there is that part of it. I'm just talking from the aspect of, you know, you see people on socials and in real life, and, you know, they're recording these videos of these good deeds. And it's kind of like, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You know, just do it.
And then going back to Christmas now with the, so Christmas is over and a kid goes back to school in January. And he says to his mate, oh, what did you get for Christmas? What did Santa get you? Oh, he got me a PS5. He got me this amazing record player, whatever. I don't know. What did he use on Roblox?
Robux.
Robux. Oh, I got 300 Robux.
That's a thing in our house now.
Yeah.
Robux.
Robux. I got 300 Robux off Santa.
Biggest bribe.
Oh, what did you get? And little Tommy goes, oh, I got a pair of socks, a colouring book, a pencil case, and that's it. And then
and let's be fair, that's wicked.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. But as a kid, you know, you think then, oh, what was I good? Was I good last year? Oh, why doesn't Santa love me as much as he loves my friend? Yeah. And because they think Santa's real and they haven't got it in their mind to think, oh, well. My mate Eric lives in a massive, massive house. We only live in a little flat, you know, and those parents should be having those conversations with the kids as opposed to just being like, oh, let's see what Santa gets you on the day and just leave it up to that and then take no responsibility for that conversation that your child's going to have in school then in a few weeks' time.
Because that's the real, real issue, I think. And I've seen it. I've personally stood there and I've seen a group of kids do it.
Mm.
And you talk about what you have for Christmas and it's like, oh, I had this. And you hear some of the extravagant gifts that have been given. And I'm kind of like, don't get me wrong. I could buy that stuff for the kids, but I choose not to because it's not, I don't think personally it's right to, don't get me wrong. It's great to have those experiences when you're a kid. And there are plenty of local businesses out there that you can go and attend. That's probably not a way to put it. But there's lots of local business that you can engage with where you can actually go on days out to do these things. Don't get me wrong, things like go-karting, you've got to be a certain height to do it. But, you know, if you've bought your kid an electric go-kart for Christmas, is that really like what we want to, you know?
Yeah.
And even if you say, oh yeah, but they could be a race car driver, then sponsor them by saving and putting money towards them going on to some kind of sponsored academy for go-karting, which is actually going to lead to them being involved in a team building, no selfness there. There's actually, you know, exposure to others and working as a team in, even though like actually go-karting is quite a single solo venture, but you catch my drift. But it's that type of stuff that you can do opposed to having some of these extravagant things that some of the kids have had. But you see, but what the point is, I've seen it, you know, and I've seen that conversation. It's not good. So yeah, just ease off the presents. Yeah.
And little disclaimer, we aren't professionals who can give this sort of advice. This is just our humble opinion. So take of this what you will. Is that the right phrase?
Take it with a pinch of tinsel.
Yeah, take it with a pinch of tinsel. or salt in my I'm quite salty about Christmas.
So to answer the question we asked earlier, before I think we'll move on to another topic, I think is that's also what we wanted to include into this one, perhaps.
Yeah.
We just want to talk about where Santa Claus actually came from. So the legend of Santa Claus, and this is according to history.com, the legend of Santa Claus can be traced back hundreds of years to a monk named Saint Nicholas. So Saint Nick was a monk. It is believed that Nicholas was born sometime around 280 AD in Pantara. Is it Pantera or Pantara?
Patara.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying, Pantara. Patara near Mira.
Yeah.
In modern day Turkey. So going back to that point you made at the beginning, he is from Turkey.
From Turkey.
So if you were paying attention at the beginning, you should have answered that question in the comment section correctly. And he was much admired for his kindness, which was
Maybe that's why we have turkey on a Christmas table. Anyway, on to...
Let us know in the comment section if you think that the reason that we have turkey on the Christmas table is because Christmas originated from turkey.
Yes. Anyway, on to the next installment of... Whew. Is it installment or topic? Yeah, topic.
Yeah, topic.
Is pet peeves.
Yes,
now,
indeed.
I've got a lot of them.
So should we do an effect at this session? Like, this section is pet peeves.
Pet peeves. yeah, so... Kick us off. What is one that's on your mind?
I'll tell you what flipping annoys me. First, there's a number of things here, but I think the thing that really grinds my gears is it can happen in like a bunch of different types of kind of situations you'll find yourself in. You'd be in the supermarket, for example. You're pushing yourself down an aisle. You're pushing yourself? No, you are pushing a trolley down an aisle. And as you're going down the aisle, you realize, oh, I'm not going to quite fit through this gap because there are others in my way. So instead of me just being an absolute tit and just pushing myself through, not making eye contact and just plowing on through, you might have experienced this in M&S perhaps, Tom. I know you're a regular M&S. Yeah. But what you tend to do then is stop. If you're a nice, humble person and kind of say, you know, after you, you give that verbal acknowledgement or that physical acknowledgement to say, yeah, go on, after you. But when the person... can't give you the courtesy of saying thank you for your courteous gesture, that really annoys me.
Yeah.
So if you are that type of person who is not aware that somebody has just been kind enough to let you pass through the passage of an aisle in a shop, then just go and give yourself a long, hard slap.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
And that applies as well. When you're driving up to a roundabout and you've gone through the effort of going from fourth to third to second gear, almost into first gear.
This is massive effort.
And because of this, because you move to your right and you see someone approaching the roundabout, and because they're not indicating, you expect, oh, they're just going to go straight over. And then they just go left. And then you've done all that because of them. And then you've got to go through all the gears again just to go around the roundabout. Pisses me off.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'll just go f*** myself, shall I?
Thanks, mate.
Yeah. So I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, roundabouts are the worst. And do you know what? It's not even a stigma, right? There's this saying that people who drive BMWs, German cars, Mercedes, whatever, Porsche, they don't indicate when they go in a roundabout. Mm. Let me just say, as a previous BMW owner, and I got rid of this car for good reason. It wasn't just for the fact that people thought you didn't indicate. It was a lot of other things that come with it. It is not just those types of vehicles that don't indicate. It is all idiots that don't indicate.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not even as if you could say sometimes, oh, I forgot to indicate around the roundabout this time. Well, that's fantastic when you've just driven into somebody and potentially, you know, killed somebody in the car because you've just forgot to put your indicator on. It's not something you forget about. We do a driving test for a reason. And that's not to program you to drive in a certain way. It's so you are aware of others and what you're doing and telling others what you're doing. So when you're going round and round about without your flipping indicator on, go give yourself a long, hard slap. But the other situation of roundabouts is people don't understand if you're turning right on a roundabout, you should leave the roundabout in the right-hand lane. And a lot of people leave the roundabout.
If it's a dual carriageway, like if it's a dual road.
Yeah. But the amount of times that people will just rejoin into that left-hand lane. And you know what? If we can at this point, we'll put some kind of...
just chop you up.
Some little picture here or something just to show the correct way you should go around the roundabout when you turn right.
I'll find some sort of...
Woof. If some we sort can. Of
driving tutorial.
Yeah. We'll post a link in the description.
Yeah.
And then also, please, again, leave some comments. Just let us know what your pet peeves are with roundabouts. But yeah, definitely roundabouts is on the agenda for me as well. So annoying. Maybe we should just not leave. We'll just live here.
Yeah.
And just podcast all day.
Yeah.
Happy life.
Yeah.
And back to just that whole courtesy thing on when we were talking about the aisles, the same thing applies. When you open the door for somebody, it's the same thing. You open the door.
Yeah.
You give that acknowledgement. Like, I've done a nice... And back to what we were saying about Christmas with that was that word that you found of acts of kindness. It's kind of like, I'm doing exactly the same thing right there.
altruism.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So So yeah. I'm opening the door. I expect a thank you.
Yeah. You want something in return.
See, nothing selfless.
But if they don't say thank you, you know full well you are steering them out for the next like 5-10 seconds.
Legit. This happened.
And just steering them out and hoping that they turn around so you can like mutter something just so you feel better.
Do you know what?
About yourself.
I think sometimes it's borderline. I potentially could have a fight in the supermarket or wherever we are when we're opening doors. I mean, there's most places. Most of the time, not so much in the house. I don't fight with women. but it's right though. You know, there's that kind of, I want to make sure that you hear that I've acknowledged the fact that you haven't said thank you.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, thanks. That's just...
I have a really good one. So when someone makes you a cup of tea, right? So like, say for example, you're in work or whatever, and someone goes, oh, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll have one. Why not? And they bring it to you. And because obviously the vessel of the mug is hot, they got two choices where to hold
the vessel.
It. The vessel, yeah. They either hold it by the handle or they hold it at the top, right? When people hold it at the top, yeah, and like you just know that your lips are gonna be on that rim of the cup when you start to drink it. I hate it. It's like they bring it over to you. Oh, there you are. No, no care in the world. I may also give me your fingers. I'll lick your fingers instead, then, shall I? And then I'll drink your shit tea. Where you put the milk in first, you slosh the tea.
Oh, don't.
You slosh the PG tips bag around. You can't even bother to get decent tea bags.
Why do people do this?
And then, yeah. That brings you on to another pet peeve where people ask you for a cup of tea. You say, oh, no, thanks. I'll make my own. That should be a fine thing to say. That shouldn't be insulting. It's just that I like my own tea the way I like to make it. There's no point in being, oh, yes, please. And then have to endure a really shit, hot cup of tea.
Cup of piss.
And if I leave it or if they see me slosh it down the sink, that's even more disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I don't drink tea in work.
No. I was going to say, you've had tea here, so I'm hoping it's okay.
Unless it's my own, but yeah.
Yeah.
Don't drink anyone else's tea in work.
Yeah, just don't do it. Nope. Speaking of work,
yeah.
I do have a bit of a peeve about work. Mm. And it may echo here a little bit, because it's something that happened when we were setting up and starting the podcast today. But not muting your background noise during meetings.
Oh yeah.
So sometimes you get interruptions from things like Siri.
Oh, and there we go. My time has just gone off.
Ah, there we go. So this is the point of the podcast until we get some sponsorship from somebody to help us invest in better technology. We've just got to come back every now and again, and we've got to hit re-record on the video. So that's what that little interlude is for there. Yeah. So it's our little plug for some sponsorship. So yes, this will grow in time. Please invest your money with us. Any amount will do.
So
thank you very much.
So the camera I've got is it only records 30 minutes at a time. So I've got to keep going up and pressing it again. So it's a new file. So yeah, that's what that is. And that's what happened in the last episode.
Yes. At the same time again. Yeah. So it's a recurring thing.
So it'll always happen.
Not muting your background noise during meetings or putting yourself on mute. Sometimes there's sessions that you do, whether you're doing like training or you're just having general calls, and you can just hear some perform like Microsoft brought the noise cancellation tech. That then got adopted across other software. You just hear somebody just eating crisps, like that didn't sound like eating crisps, but you catch my drift. And you're like, oh, just don't do that. Or using your phone while you're talking to someone.
Mm. I do that a lot. I use my phone a lot when someone's talking to me and I'm doing something. But what I find more annoying, right, is when someone comes up to you and like say like they can clearly see you typing, and then they come and ask you a question, but then I don't hear them the first time because obviously I'm engaged. If they say my name and then I go yes,
say my name.
Yeah,
sorry,
we'll get copyrighted.
Oh damn it!
But when and then they don't say my name, and then like they get annoyed then, be like, oh, I've got to repeat myself again. That's annoying. But then at the same time, like, oh, what's happened?
Oh no, we've turned down the lights. I totally get where you're coming from with it. It's just you're repeating what you said. The some of the other things, though, as Tom goes to sort out some catastrophic tech issues that we've had with the lights going off. Another thing that really annoys me is I've seen some people do posts, and you see this like in various places, and especially if someone messages you. So when people take the time to do a capital letter at the beginning of every word that they put in a sentence or a status.
Mm.
And I remember seeing this quite a lot. You have like everything.
Oh, back in the day, that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was like capital letter at the beginning of every word.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at it and I'm thinking, that's effort to do that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, you're really good with the shift key with your pinky finger. Just keep clicking it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay in like YouTube videos or Spotify uploads. I think we've done that.
but they're title videos.
Yeah, they're when they're actually titles and not statuses or tweets or whatever, then yeah, that's fair.
Or when people use all capital letters,
because
you think they're shouting. So it could be something really simple like, are you free for a catch-up? But really, because it's in capitals, it's, are you free for a catch-up?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Just chill out a little bit, please.
Mm. I've got another one, but it's not really related to people. It's more so just just something annoying that I wish just wouldn't happen. I'm sure everyone goes through this as well. Like when you get like a pair of joggers or a pair of jeans or something that you just trousers in general.
Love a pair of joggers.
When
I love your legs as well, yeah. By the way.
when you wear them once and then you like, you know, sit down or something or cross your legs or whatever, and then you stand up and then the knee part of the jogger is like that. That annoys me so much because they just look so crusty and old then, even though they're brand new. And jeans as well. Like it happens to my jeans a lot now. So I've stopped wearing skinny stretch. I wear like different jeans now.
But legs are too big these days. Yeah. So.
But like,
I know that feeling. Like genuinely frigging tree trunks. Like,
but when the knee goes like that, oh, I hate it.
Yeah,
I can't stand it. But that's not really a pet peeve. It's just a general.
You'd almost say like you've been on your knees for too long, but you haven't. I didn't mean it like that. You know, but it could be just the way you.
We'll have to post this podcast past the watershed now.
Yeah, or up to an upload to Pornhub or something. So yeah, other things like
I've got loads. If you just want to just let me rattle a few
just,
off,
just I'll let you go.
Handshakes. So
yeah, don't do this shit.
Yeah,
so, it's minging. don't touch people.
So
if COVID taught us anything, stop touching each other, you frigging weirdos.
So handshakes. Back in the back in the olden days, in the traditional times, there was one way of a handshake, and it was just that handshake. But now there's like so many different variations of handshakes, and then you've got to maybe go in for a hug. Or like, is it a fist bump? You don't know what people are. You don't know what elbows. People prefer. Like if you both go in, like if there's like a 0.5 second window where you're both going in for either a handshake or a fist bump, you're kind of guessing on what sort of person they are. Are they a fist bumper or are they a handshaker?
Yeah.
And then because you're looking at them and then you're approaching, and then because they see you've got your hand open and you see that they've got their hand clenched, then you both change, and then you both change again. And then all of a sudden you're just kind of in this muddly sort of thing. And then you go home then afterwards, you're not even listening to what they have to say, because all you're thinking about is that moment where you've kind of just caressed hands. And then you go home and then you sit in bed, you look up at the ceiling and you can't sleep because you're just thinking about that moment and how that person now, that acquaintance that you meet every now and again is just tainted by that moment. And that's all you're going to think about every time you see them.
Yep.
And you can tell that I've got PTSD.
This is proper problems.
Yeah, this is counselling now. This is not a podcast. This is counselling.
So Tom, what emotions do you think that really triggers down within?
too many negative ones.
So what about when you've got people who, I don't know, maybe you're in a restaurant, or have you got family members who chew loudly, or they don't close their mouth when they eat?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big one for me. I'm just like, close your mouth, for God's sake.
Yeah, luckily no one I live with does that. But people who I, in uni and stuff, people did do that. But do you know what? I actually don't hear it. And unless it's like proper, like they chew with their mouth open, but that's annoying. But people actually just eating loudly with their mouth closed, like I don't really notice it.
Hmm.
That's just me. That's just my humble opinion.
Yes, indeed. What about, taking this outside of, individuals, I guess this is still individuals, but what about when you go to a shop these days, and they don't accept card.
Hmm. Yeah, that is a bit annoying because everything's on card now, isn't it? But and then that brings into the debate, like, why is everything going cashless? What are they? What is the, you know, the higher people trying to, are they trying to track every move we make? Is that the reason that this going cashless?
Well, I got to be careful with what I say here. I really do. Because I may or may not work for a
Yeah.
But I don't think there is any miss. I don't think there's any underlying.
I think it's just easier
agenda for, you know, we're trying to do it for a certain. I'm not saying that. I don't think it's being done for a certain reason. I don't think it's there to give one global currency where the Illuminati are going to come and take over, and they're going to escape the planet when it blows up, and they're going to you know, go to the newly discovered planet that they've just found using the new James Webb Space Telescope, by the way. They've actually found a Earth-like planet. That's probably something for another episode when we talk about science to an extent, because I'm not that intelligent when it comes to science.
Yeah, same. Let's not do that.
I am intrigued by space, etc. But the James Webb Space Telescope has just discovered a new planet. It's very, very Earth-like. So anyway, my point is the Illuminati will be going to that planet one day. While there's one global currency kind of left here. But there's no, you know, there's no issue with that. The only thing I think that people would lose out on is, you know, giving the odd bit of cash here and there, you know, as you do for like birthdays and whatever, and putting, I mean, you can't put plastic inside a birthday card or a note that says I've just transferred you 20 quid. Because that, I guess, in a cash society is under the, you know, it's just off the grid. It's like this money that's going round, but it's not logged. But, you know, everything would be logged in that kind of cashless society where you'd have everything just, you know, logged in your transaction list.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Money's still a bit hard. Yeah. What is going on with this?
I tell you, a big pet peeve is when you're recording the podcast and the LED light keeps turning off and on. leave a comment to let us know if it's annoying you.
There's no reason why it should be.
Tom's right. There is no reason why it should be going off.
There's no, like, I think the controller's up there. I don't know. It just keeps turning. It's off Amazon, and it was the cheapest one. That's probably why.
It looks lovely. I think it gives a nice wash of light on it.
Yeah, it would be nice if we had like big ones. Maybe you know, when we get a
sponsorship.
When we get some sort of sponsorship.
I'm not too sure if anyone listening wants to do that, but honestly, it'd be much appreciated.
It may be a Newport-based business.
Yeah.
we can have your logo just there, we can have it there.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
we're
honestly.
Right on our foreheads.
I mean, currently I'm sponsored by Santa Cruz, but we can easily change that to anything that you desire. I'll wrap your hoodie all day long. But just to conclude on that one, I mean, just so I think, you know, when we go to a shop and they don't accept cash, I'm like, sorry, they don't accept card. I'm like, oh, come on.
That is annoying. It's even more annoying when it's like, there's a minimum spend and you've got to buy a few things.
That's not so much a thing anymore. It used to be a lot.
Yeah. Or they go, it's a 75p charge or something like that.
It's
basically the shop trying to mitigate that credit.
It's their cost that they had to pay at the time to make the transaction.
Yeah, so they're just offloading that cost at you, which is fair enough. I understand that. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. But at the time when that was a big, because that was a big thing, I think at one point, that definitely was a bit of a pet peeve of mine.
There's actually a cash point down the road. I think it's £1.75 now. You've got that's how much you pay to use it now. £1.75.
They're still going there.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous, really. Cosy lives and all that.
Yeah, Cosy lives. I got one as a YouTuber. I've got a pet peeve that probably not a lot of people might have.
People who don't hit the like and subscribe button.
Yes,
do it.
So my second pet peeve about YouTube is when I understand when there's YouTubers that are of like above like 100,000 subs, a million subs, whatever. They can't, you know, they physically can't reply to comments. They're too busy. They, you know, can't reply to all comments. But when you've got people who are like, you know, I don't know, between like 1,000 and 60,000 or whatever, but they only getting like 16, 20 comments, you know,
you should be replying to every single one,
right? And I watched this YouTuber, right? And I noticed that he doesn't reply. He doesn't even like anyone's like comment. People are actually taking the time to, it's quite hard to get comments on YouTube anyway.
Yeah.
But people are actually taking their time to actually leave him a comment after they've sat there for 15, 20 minutes to actually just watch him waffle on about stuff. right? Which is pretty interesting. So I left a nice comment, like it was about 4 or 5 lines, which is quite a lot for a YouTube comment. And it's just been completely aired. And this guy, he's just hit 15K subs. So he's quite small in the grand scheme of things. And he just hasn't replied to it. And then there's another person I left a comment for, like a really nice message of, oh, well done on the video, mate. Keep it up. You're going to go places. Like, I think it was like 600 subs or something. I just want to be nice.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
Just completely aired it. It's just really annoying. It just makes me not want to leave a nice comment. Do you know what I mean?
It's so annoying. It disengages you as a,
yeah,
you know, as somebody who's interested in that form of entertainment.
Because now I'm not going to want to watch it. I've literally unsubscribed, actually. I've unsubscribed from them because I don't want to watch them anymore because I'm like, oh, that's a bit arsey.
But, yeah. And I'll say this one YouTuber's name because it's great content. But Beard Meets Food. I gotta be fair. The guy makes short, snappy, just engaging videos. And that guy has 2.5 million subs, but he still takes the time out to reply to as many comments as possible.
Yeah,
and he's replied to a few of mine. He's messaged me back, and I've actually engaged in a couple of comments, Adam. If you're ever watching this, we've had like a bit of an exchange back and forth, and it's nice. I mean, and don't get me wrong, they're just people. We're just people at the end of the day.
A lot of them, what they do, when the video's uploaded at like 6 PM or something, they're on from 6 PM till like 6:30 to let people watch it and then comment, and then they reply to every single comment that's been made between 6 and 6:30, and they let people know that. That's fine.
Oh my god. Pet peeve kicking in again. The LED light has gone. But yeah, I didn't know there was kind of a schedule to the whole, you know, when they reply to the actual videos they upload. I didn't know that. You might want to grab the remote this time, just in case, just so you could turn it off and on. And maybe there is a timer on there. So yeah, but other kind of peeves that annoy me a little bit, and I don't know if it's quite timely that Tom sat down when I say this, is when people stand or sit too closely to you. So I've noticed, and I find this since all these restrictions have started to like calm down a little bit. I'm stood again in the supermarket. I've got a thing of supermarkets. I wasn't in M&S like Tom, but when I'm in the supermarket and I'm at the till and I'm about to pay for something, I'm there with my basket or my trolley. I'm about to unload under the conveyor belt, and you've got this real eager beaver that's almost latched themselves up your asshole. To get to the conveyor belt immediately after you've moved. And they're there just stretching for the separator that says, yep, my turn next. I'm on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you just back up? Like, just back up. 2 meters, please. Do you remember that?
Yeah. What's worse is when they put the divider down and they push your food
the cheek of it
more just so they can fit theirs on.
The sheer cheek of it.
It's so annoying.
Honestly.
Just wait a minute. Like,
honest.
Like, I'm just going to go slower. Hold up. I'm just going to go slower.
Wait a minute. I actually saw
a pet peeve online earlier when someone said, when someone's been given their like receipt or whatever, and they spend so long just putting that receipt in their wallet or their purse and taking ages to like get all their stuff together before they leave. It's just like,
it really read away. Yeah. There's a song by Ludacris that we won't be able to play for copyright reasons. But it's kind of like, you want to start just blasting out. Yeah, I'm with you. It's why it takes so long. Just move along. Give me 2 meters space. Let me do my thing. Let me move through. You can come and do your thing afterwards.
And now we're going to read what other people have said.
Yes, good point. Yeah, yeah. We have had a few of these.
Got to be honest, I completely forgot.
No, we didn't. We've clearly remembered.
I don't think people... A few people quite understood what a pet peeve is.
Oh dear. I should log into this too then. Oh my gosh. Oh, pet peeve of people not turning their phone down while they're recording.
I just took a screenshot because I'm not sure whether it's there anymore because I put it up like over 24 hours ago. But one person said, oh, when people make noise when they chew. We've been over that.
Cover this one.
Someone,
we got you.
Someone else said chewing loudly.
We got you.
Slow drivers. Which is, I get it.
No, it does depend. I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Because there are times where I'm like, can you just slow down, please? That you were clearly driving too fast.
Yeah.
And I've been there, done that. Don't do it anymore. It's just dumb. Just drive nice. But there's times where people do drive extremely slow, then you just need a bit quicker, especially when it's dangerous to drive slow, like you're doing 45 miles an hour on a motorway, where a lorry does, I think, 57 on its limiter or a little bit around that kind of that area, and that you're doing like 45.
Depends what your idea of slow is, really, isn't it?
We give James May a ring.
Yeah. One-uppers.
My cat is blacker than your cat.
Yeah.
Whether that's politically correct or not, sorry. But there's another term for this. And it's somebody I used to work with in Lloyd's. And obviously it's quite timely that the light goes out again.
Yeah.
Is it Johnny Two Sheds or something? They called it. Which is basically when somebody says that, well, I've got a shed. Well, I've got two sheds. So I don't know the saying entirely, but I'll look it up now. We'll fact check the saying.
But yeah, there's
one-uppers.
I remember before when someone said, I used to work with kids, and like there was a kid who I used to have, and he would always say like, have you got that? Oh, I got this. You know, I got the 12. Oh, I got the iPhone 12. Oh, I got the iPhone 13. And someone said, If you've been tenor, if he's been 11 or if.
I love this one. Oh, I've been the tenor. I've been to 11 or if.
11
or all right, mood.
And I thought that was quality.
Two sheds is an actual thing. So you are a two sheds if you always one up yourself, brag, or show off when an opportunity arises. So, don't be a two sheds.
And I have more on my other, did one on my. So someone actually said, and I didn't actually see this. When someone wears Nike shoes with Adidas socks. And if you could see, I'm wearing Nike shoes and Adidas socks.
Mate, so that is what are you doing?
Yeah, so we've just lost a subscriber right now for that.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So yeah, Nike shoes, Adidas socks.
Please don't leave. I apologize on behalf of this stuff. Really, I'm sorry. Totally with you on this.
I went to the gym earlier and I haven't changed yet. And
hang on, have you washed?
No, but I mean...
So back to my pet peeve of being too close to people.
It's a fresh t-shirt.
Fresh tea?
Yeah, fresh tea. I've had put deodorant on.
Okay,
I've actually had a haircut as well.
Yeah. Because you're looking quite fresh today.
Yeah. When people say, I hope this email finds you well.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, I hope this email finds you well because it's gone out into some ether that is misdirected and not like a straight line to the email address that you've just sent it to.
Or you're gonna respond to them and be like, oh, hi, Jane. Unfortunately, I'm at the bottom of a well, so I'm not...
It's not found me well.
Yeah, so I'm not in a very good position to respond to this email properly at the moment.
Yeah, I think I might do something on this. Next time somebody does say, I hope this email finds you well, I'm going to reply, unfortunately, the email didn't find me well.
Mm.
I found that I was trapped within a well at the bottom, covered in mud and other gooey
stuff,
substances.
This is one for the gym goers. People claiming a PB, personal best, when clearly a spotter has a hand on the bar or pulling it off. So like when you're doing a bench press and someone's going for a PB and you're going for it and then you see the spotter, literally you can see him lifting it. And then they still post it on their Instagram saying, oh, just got 130 kilogram PB. No, you didn't. Didn't get you a PB because your spotter touched it. That is annoying. That is a pet peeve of mine. I just want to respond to them and be like, that's not a PB, is it? It's just annoying. But yeah. I got another one as well. Not knowing the difference between your and you are, but when it's an apostrophe.
No, I tell you what's even worse than that. The people who call it out. Because I haven't got the time to think about grammar or anything like that. So when it comes to writing your, I'll write whatever the fuck I want. But yes, but the people who don't know the difference, shame on you.
Yeah.
But I do know the difference, but it's
but
I
then,
just
but then how does the person explaining it know that if you're not doing it properly?
Because mind your damn business,
it's like,
yo.
It's like when you take a penalty in football and you absolutely sky it. You're not going to say, oh, well, I do know how to take a proper penalty. Well, no, you clearly don't because you just skied it.
That's a different. That's apples and oranges.
Same context.
No, it's different. It's different. There's chance involved in kicking a football against a big open goal that you should score, if I'm honest.
There's chance whether you're going to use your and your, I guess.
Oh dear.
It's whenever whenever your Android phone autocorrects.
Oh crikey.
That's a big pet peeve of mine, actually, when people who have an Android phone think that it's the God's gift to mankind, that they've been blessed with the mind, that they're not brainwashed into having an iPhone.
Listen, we're not going to go down here. Right?
This is another podcast in itself. I've got an iPhone, and he's got an Android, and we both stand by our choices.
Stand by your man.
And there's obviously no problem. But it's just funny to dig at each other about it.
There's another funny pet peeve that's come in that's relatable. I believe this is somebody who could possibly know me. Buying food after a night out and then boffing it back up.
I saw that, but is that actually a pet peeve?
It's not a pet peeve. I think it's more of a pet peeve for them when they've seen somebody else do that. So you just had a night out, you've just eaten something quite tasty, could be a Five Guys,
and then you just
boffed the entire thing up and maybe just had room for the milkshake.
Yeah, but I guess it's all right because you've enjoyed the food and then
many a time it's been a very pleasurable experience, but it just doesn't stay down.
That's not me saying upchucking your food after you've eaten is a good thing. Bulimia is an awful thing to go through. Yeah, just want to disclose that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, yeah, if you're sick, your food.
What about when people don't put things away after you've used them?
This is from someone I know very well, and I am someone who does do this. I am the pet to the peeve, if that's the right phrase. But yeah, I've got this brain, right, where I do things. I think there's a little bit of ADHD or something. I do things, right? I do the hoovering or something, and then the side's dirty, so I leave the hoover there. Once I've finished hoovering, I don't put the hoover back, I just leave it there.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And then I get the cloth and the spray and spray up, and then I may see that the cushions aren't plump. So I leave the spray and the cloth on the side, and then I go and plump the cushions, and then everything's left out there. And then I go and sit down because I'm bored. And then I think that's what they are on about.
Yeah. I personally don't see any problem with that at all.
No?
No.
But then that leaves more work for you then, because you're not putting stuff away after you.
Yeah, true.
But then I'm just talking from experience. Then the person, honestly, I'm going to get, our next episode, I'm getting a new light.
And unless, of course, you own a light company and you'd like to invest or sponsor us, we would be most humble and grateful for that. Again, we are currently wearing almost unbranded attire, so you can feel free to sponsor us anywhere, any way possible, as we grow hopefully a following of billions. It can be brilliant. In terms of time though, I think we're getting to the end of the end here.
I think we're approaching 25 minutes on the second recording of the camera. So I think we're about done.
Yeah, that was our humble opinion. We covered Christmas and pet peeves. Next podcast, I'm not too sure at the moment, but we would love for you to actually help us shape what that looks like. So, again, leave comments on what it is that you think that we want to discuss for the next one. We've got almost a whole week to get that done.
And also, I do appreciate that we have been very negative in this episode about just moaning about things.
No.
But this is a safe space for us. You know, we get to sit here with our microphones and a camera and express our humble opinion. And that's what it's all about.
Yep. So if you're offended,
I don't think anyone's going to be offended.
You won't
by
be
that.
Offended. Don't
if you
don't
are
be
offended by my opinion of Christmas.
Then come on the podcast and tell us why.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have a third microphone and it's going to be set up. So if you want to challenge us and make a great episode, we'll accommodate you nicely.
And we'll do those episodes actually as kind of sporadic, and we may title them a tight squeeze or something where you can kind of park yourself here. But as you can see, we're not small human beings. So if we were to like move up.
Yeah. And then we
would there'd be some space. Yeah. It'd be all right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It'd be good. So thanks for watching. And we'll catch you at the next one.